Okay, we're on the topic of being alone. We're on the topic of Shalshudis is the time of Rava the Rava, of the closest desire of Hashem. It's the most auspicious time of being close to Hashem. It's the time where Moshe Rabbeinu died, and the Torah says nobody knew where he was buried. And that is the ultimate time of delight and desire, is that when a person is all alone, that's when you're able to really understand what the relationship is.
He's so unique that nobody else would achieve that sort of elevation.
He was the top.
There's no.
He was the top. He was the most spiritual person that could be, so to such an extent that even in his death, people couldn't even be with him. He was so tight with Hashem. He was so close with him. And again, we understand that on a normal human perspective. You know, if two people are in love and they're alone and there's nobody disturbing them, then that closeness is felt much stronger. So Moshe Rabbeinu, when he left this world, he had such a depth of Vayivaser Moshe Levado, that Moshe remained by himself. He has no connection to this world at all. You know, although he lived in this world, but you know, it was like totally, he understood it for the mirage that it is. And he had a total connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even outwardly, he didn't have any real connection to the physical world. He just went through the motions and that's it.
Nobody else achieved that sort of elevation?
No, that's the only one. There's gotta be one that hits the top. It's gotta be one that's better than everybody else.
Everybody else is trying and nobody else
can. No, we're talking about, these are different levels. You know, we have Yaakov felt it at certain times in his life. Right? But to totally, we have no idea how far this is with Moshe Rabbeinu. We have no idea what this means. Can we understand how it means to be on a mountain for 40 days and not eat? Right? We can understand what that means.
For there are people who are doing him, it today, but
not 40 days without any food? Period. No water, nothing. Right? Someone whose God says, I speak to him face to face like nobody else. So he was, you know, different than everyone else. And we have to come to terms that we're not going to be Moshe Rabbeinu. And we're not meant to be Moshe Rabbeinu. We can be very fine, righteous tzaddikim without being Moshe Rabbeinu. People can know where we're buried. It's not the end of the world. Right? So now we're on the third line on the top of page Kuf Nun Vav. Hadvorim halalu, these words heim kehem sheikh lamashi dibarno el. These words are like a continuation of what we've spoken about before. Al inyan ha'hispoidu du'shachas, about this idea of self-reflecting for 1 hour a day. I haven't forgotten about that idea. In order to arouse the true desire that is pent up within a person. It must be that he has to have this level of remaining alone. Anytime where a person has a superficial connection to something else, and not only a true connection, that is with Hashem, a person lowers himself down from the true desires of the soul. He connects with the outer points, the outer desires. So that's why you need that out. You need that aspect of being alone. When you are alone, there's nothing else in this world to want to connect with, and you have the ability to connect with Hashem. Therefore, when you're going to have that hour of reflection, it shouldn't be in a room that has a lot of stimulus. It should be in a very boring room where all there is the four walls and nothing else to attract your attention except Hashem. So, im adam roitzel lahaka remes azatzim, if a person really wants to recognize himself as mahus nafsho, the essence of his soul, im chavetzu be'emes lirtzos esabor, if he really wants to desire Hashem, it's by necessity that he must be at the level of that he remained by himself. Or no person knew him. Af echad lo yada makor ito. Not one person knew what happened to him. Hechen hu nimtza. How is this found? Kolomer benakudas anevash apnimis hu bodeid misbodeid in bara. The place where nobody can find you is in that inner point of spirituality of loneliness, where you are reflecting alone with Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Nobody knows what's going on with you at that point in time. You do that when people are sleeping, you're alone, and this is a secretive kind of thing. You don't publicize the whole, oh, I want you to know I'm a great reflector, and I reflect a lot on God and this and that. It's you and God, that's all. Advar malalo ain't a drushim rayonos. You know, these words, you know, doesn't need great deep understanding over here. It's obvious. Anyone who thinks a little bit with a little bit of depths of wisdom knows that this is of the foundations of the roots of creation. The root of everything is the supernal crown, the innermost desire. Just like you know in creation of the ten spheros, Keser is on the top. And Keser, as we know, the crown means, as we've said many times, Ein davar omed lifnei ratzon, nothing stands before a true will, and the truest will is that of a king, because a king has all his resources, and nothing can stop him from getting what he wants. And therefore the crown, which represents the king, represents the will that cannot be stopped. And everything else flows from the will. That's the entire creative process of the world, no different than the creative process of yourself. In order to arouse it, you have to be alone. And that's what the king is. The king, when he's on his throne, nobody else is on that throne. And the king has to have this time where he is alone by himself as well, to know what to do with his people. So this is a critical aspect of being by oneself. That is the first step of being able to really have the ability to desire this wanting to be close to Hashem. When you're near everything else and every stimulus, it's hard to say, I really want you just Hashem, when you see all kinds of other things that you are superficially connecting to, and maybe even deeper than that. Okay, now, next subtopic. Against a true inner will, the Yetzirah is not able to fight. At this critical point is rooted the root of success in the service of Hashem, or God forbid the opposite. To the extent that a person has a true will to serve his Creator, he's able to stand against everything that gets in the way. What is the general stumbling block that prevents a person from moving ahead? He starts to serve Hashem before he really wants to serve Hashem. He says, get into it without really wanting to serve Hashem. And what does that mean? We don't mean to say you don't have any desire. Because if you didn't have any desire, you wouldn't start to do your avodas Hashem. So that's not what it means. The understanding is that the desire is not the desire of desires. The ultimate desire. Rak rav levad. It's just one desire. The deeper point of the spiritual person is not the greatest desire. You want it like you want everything else in life. You want to be rich, you want to be spiritual. You want everything. You can't have everything. It's just not going to be. If you really want it, then that's going to be your top priority. See, after Lorutz Liskadi Maher Kosman Shashur Shaldar Lokim, you can't run and proceed ahead if the root isn't stable. So again, the question becomes, Hasha'elihi Efo Hechan Shar Shabaya. So the question is, where's the root of this problem? So Navarazos Ktsas Yosef Prades, let's get into a little more detail as we move on to page Kuf Nun Zayin. L'chol adam yesh ritzonos. Every person has desires. V'yesh seichel machshavas. There's intellect, there's thoughts. Person is always a bundle of desires and thoughts and wants. Berega sha'adam shemes emes. At a moment when a person hears the truth, you hear the truth, and you mamish, you're confronted with the truth, and you acknowledge the truth, and you can't deny the truth. And there is something within the person the core of the person, that is able to recognize the truth and is able to want to connect to it. You can, when you really hear the emes, you could really want it. And what will happen is, hum miyad zonech es haratzon, hum maschel lachshav machshavas eich miskarvim ma'isim beledrachim, etc. So immediately, he's zoneach, like leaves over the other ratzon that you had, let's say the superficial ratzon, and begins to think thoughts of how do you get closer, how do you accomplish what you need to do. Okay, now the problem is, but the problem is he doesn't inflame the true ratzon. He can say, yeah, I want to be more spiritual, but he doesn't inflame it to become the Rav of the Rav. Kfar bor lo shu rotze, it's clear to me he wants it already. Shere ma yosef bor mi bor shakadosh baruch hu be'emes hu atov amiti. Right? What could be clearer than a person that clarified to himself that God is the only truth and the only good? Vodem gomar gishos benash, and he feels it in his soul. Kolechel vi madrigosu. Everyone according to the level. Mikan ve'elech hu rotze l'haschal avod. And from that point on, he begins to want to serve Hashem. Aval kafish, that's a mistake. Aval kafish yiskarnu, but as we mentioned, haramchal kaiser sheyetzer yoser takav me'adam, that the yetzer is stronger than a person. Ukedivrei chazal, as our rabbis have said, va'etzel lazeh, and what is the success over here? He ha hispodedus, is this self-reflection. Is this self-reflection. And then we're in a better shape. How does this self-reflection help us fight against the Yetzirah? So, hatshuva hamitis hi, so the true answer is, shemul haratzon hamiti, that against a true, really true desire, hayetzirah ena mesugol lisnagei, the Yetzirah has no chance of success to oppose you. Kol ha'isgabrish al Yetzirah hi rak v'zman shein ratz hamiti. The only time the Yetzirah really can win is if you don't have a real will. Kesharatzon hu ratzon amiti, when the will is a real will, zohi madrega pnimis benefesh, that's that level in the innermost soul, shishamei makam l'ra klo, there's no place for evil over there. U'yetzer ein koach l'lochem bo, and the Yetzer has no ability to fight that true will. Kolzman sharatzon hu b'madregas ratzon tachton, whenever your will is of a lower level of will, well then, Sham Yeshna Ratzon Shal Yetzahara. There is also a will of the Yetzahara. Ukinegdo Ratzon Shal Yetzer. You'll find his Ratzon. Kinegdo Ratzon Shal Yetzer Tov. And opposite that is the Ratzon of the Yetzer Tov. Ah. The Yeshna Mulcham Vein Ratzonis. Now you're going to have a war between those desires. That's what we mentioned in the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. The idea of that a tzaddik only listens to the Yetzer Tov. The Rosh only listens to the Yetzer Hara. The Beinoni, the in-between person, he listens to both. And when you listen to both, that's when the war begins. That's when the war begins, because each one has something that you're listening to. So now, Bizman she'adam me'orer es hanakuda hayoser p'nimis yoser mitis benafsha, when a person can arouse that innermost point of truth in his soul, k'shu me'orer es haratzon hamiti ha'p'nimi shel neshama, if a person is able to arouse the true desire of the neshama, im neshamas with a neshama, hayetzer lo yochel l'sa'asek, the yetzer has no business fighting a neshama. It can't fight a neshama. Im seichel, with intellect, im argashim, with feelings, im ritzonis chitzonis, with outer superficial desires, Yetzer nilchem, Yetzer can fight that. V'chein u'yoser tagim, and he is much stronger than them. Aval nishmas adam yoser chazakim Yetzer, but the deep, deep, real essence of the soul of a person, the Yetzer cannot fight that. The person is much stronger. That neshama is much stronger than the Yetzer. So now, kos man shiratzen ha'neshama lo nimso begilu etzeladam, as long as the desire of the neshama is not found in a revealed state by a person, the war and the tests are very difficult. When a person wakes up that innermost point, as a nekuda yoser sherashis upnimis, that innermost point of the soul, shilamalam sherashis yetzar, that is higher than the root of the yetzar. The yetzar can't go that far. Shamein Afshar Rusli Yitzhar Afilu Nasus Lilachim. There the Yitzhar can't even try to fight. There's no way the Yitzhar has any success in that area. Next page. Nimtza comes out in case. Sha'adam Yachal Livchor La'atzov Eishrachim. The person can choose for himself two ways. Haderach HaTachton, the lower way. What's the lower way? You get excited with a Shabbaton, and you sense that serving Hashem is the right thing. And what does he do? Laschil lavod imratzon chalashoso. You begin to serve Hashem with a weak desire. V'chol yamav lamod b'mochamos, and every day of his life he's fighting v'od mochamos, war after war after war. V'derech hashniyav apnimis yoser, but the second path and the more depth that exists in it is lahaskal avod im koach takif, is to begin to work on a much stronger power, im koach hazik, to develop the strong power of amiti and the true one, sheyitzar and yachalot, the yitzar can't defeat. Yeah, it's a very, very, very big point over there. You know, a lot, we probably all want to be good. We want to serve Hashem. We want to make the right decisions. But we're not arming ourselves properly to be able to fight the Yetzer. So therefore, every step of the way is another battle with the Yetzer. We're always battling the Yetzer. Because, you know, we got excited, and, you know, whatever time in our lives, we want to be the good Jewish person. But we don't have enough, we haven't gone deep enough into the area of Ratzon that where the Yetzer can't fight against you. And okay, you know, that's normal. It's not going to happen right away. But we have to realize that we have to one day develop that arsenal. You know, it's you have to get to a place where the HR just can't get there. And if he can't get there, then you don't have to worry about him anymore. So now that's the choice, to try to make the work, to do the work to get to that place. And when I get to that place, he won't be able to fight me anymore. Now, of course, he's going to fight me till I get to that place. He's still going to fight. But it's two different fights. There's the one fight is that I just want to be a good Jew, and I'll do everything Hashem wants me to do, but I don't have that deep desire. So now the Yetzer is fighting me every step of the way and will forever fight me till the day I die. Or if I'm making an effort to get to that point where he can't get to me anymore, he'll fight me till I get to that point. But once I get to that point, then he can't fight me anymore. So either way, you're going to fight with him. The question is how long? How long? So Gemara says, "B'chol yom v'yom yitzur sodom miskaber alav v'molei Hakadosh Baruch Hu asin yachol." Gemara says, every day the Yetzirah fights with a person. If Hashem doesn't help him, he isn't going to win. Be'er advarim. What does it really mean? Shebenekudas halokus shebenefesh. That within the godly depth, deep point of the soul, shom ein shlit the Yetzirah. There is no power for the Yetzirah there. Kolzman she'eskav Yetzirah he b'koyches agufanim. As long as your business with the Yetzer is with physical strengths, even the greatest spiritual strength, but it's all the superficial spiritual strength, that's the power of the intellect. That's a spiritual strength, but it's not the deepest. But there's no godly power. God forbid, the Yetzer has success. When a person arouses by himself the godly desire, when that war is spirit against physical, your spirit against the HR is physical, a locus connected gashmius, godliness against physicality, bor me'al, l'kol suffix, shenakudas locus tinatzach. It is clear beyond doubt that godliness will win. Avoidus ha'odam hi eifol l'orer b'navshas ha'retzoyna lasus retzoynacha. The service of a person, therefore, is to arouse in his soul. The concept is, our desire is to do your desire. And that is the bottom line. And that's what we've got to keep focusing on. I want what you want. I want to be the total spiritual being. That's what you're looking for. Just to be close to you. Just to be in that zone with you. So now, the obvious question again becomes, Eich magim l'ratzon amiti? How do we get to this true desire? All right, so you know, listen here. You might say, well, you know, he's been going on page to page. He hasn't really said anything. You know, but he has. He's pinpointing the focus of the direction of where we have to go. In real clear terms. In real clear terms is that we gotta really, really want to get to that point of Rava de Rava. Right? That's why we keep saying how important Shal Shudas is, you see. That's why Shal Shudas is so important, because that's the time of Rava de Rava. That's the point where you have more Siyata Deshmai than any time in a whole week, is to develop that inner desire to only want to be with Hashem. And from that point, it'll probably be at a Shal Shudas, you know, where the explosion will happen one day. That's the most likely place for it to happen, sometime in the dark. You see again why it's in the dark. It's in the dark. You're alone. Even with your other people, but you're alone in the dark. It could be with 100 people, it could be 1,000 Hasidim. But when you're in the dark, you're not with any Hasidim. You're by yourself. It's the power of the singing that you're part of, and you can get caught up to and brought up into that level, you know, and that's an electrifying atmosphere, you know, that you have to let yourself get into to really make that decision that is what I really, really want. So that's a very helpful environment. And, you know, and then of course you're going to have your hispodidus and things like that. But that's where it has to happen to really, really, when you're going to really, really want it, then you're going to go for it and go in that direction, you will get to that point. And when you get to that point, and you're in that zone where you only want to do what Hashem wants, when you really, really feel it that way, not just intellectually, then there'll be no melchama with the Yetzirah anymore. I mean, you may make a mistake. You may make an honest mistake, which happens, but you're not going to be fighting him every day. Yeah. Well, you know, more is expected. You have to accomplish more. Yeah, you have to really accomplish more. There's more that you're able to achieve, and you could slack off. You could slack off. You have to always constantly, you know, stay on that level and not fall off from that level. The tests are commensurate. Yeah, the sins aren't baby sins anymore. These are bigger sins. These are sins of judgment. You know, the sins that Moshe Rabbeinu did, they weren't sins because he didn't want to be close to Hashem. Were they? Right? They weren't sins he didn't want to get close to Hashem. It's a different type of an avera. A type of avera that he didn't necessarily have the confidence to succeed or whatever. Backing away from certain challenges that you should have, reached. Right? It's a different zone. That, you know, just like we can't really explain what it feels like to be in that position, we can't really understand what it means to make a mistake in that position. Like you said, we can't explain what you're going to feel like. So if we can't explain what you're going to feel like, how are we going to explain how you're going to make the mistake? We can't, you know, can say words, but we can't really, really understand what that is going to be. What that's going to be, you know, how much more is expected, a deeper level of thinking for others, things that we know right now we wouldn't even be conscious of, you know, and that's, you know, doing a little bit less of the mitzvah that you could have done for whatever reasons that we just can't, you know, you're totally into, you know, you could, you know, it's not that kind of a yetzahara. It's not our grub yetzahara that's involved. You know, it's better left not dealt with because we just, it's not shaykh for us. It's not shaykh for our avodas Hashem. It's not that yetzahara, you know, on the level that we understand the yetzahara. It's just not on that kind of level. I'm telling you, Moshe Rabbeinu did not have a yetzahara. He didn't. But he still sinned. And, you know, right, so that's why it's in Parshas Chukas, because Parshas Chukas is the parsha of the Paraduma, where we don't understand the mitzvah. We don't even understand how a tzaddik could sin at that point. It's a chok. You know, and when it says gadol, you know, when it talks about their gadol, what's the exact wording? Kol she gadol odom mechavero, that which a person is bigger than his friend. It does not say mean he's hit the top and he's a tzaddik. I'm bigger. So I could have a bigger yetzahara. You know, there. You know, we have. I would say that this that means when we haven't reached this total level. I don't think so. I think kol shegadol mechavero yitzro gadol mimenu. He who is bigger than his friend, his yetzahara is bigger than him. There's many ways to understand that line. You know, you could be further ahead in our avodas Hashem, which still hasn't hit the rava, the rava. Okay, so I'm a bigger Eved Hashem. I learned more Torah than the other guy. I'm bigger than him, man, aren't I? It doesn't say tzaddik. It doesn't say tzaddik. It says kol shegadol mechaver. Anyone who's bigger than his friend, but he still has a yetzahara. He's still, and as long as you're in the external realm, so your yetzahara can even be bigger. How can yetzahara be bigger? You're learning more Torah than the other guy. There's another guy is stam a bum. One guy's a bum. He's mamish. He doesn't go to shul. Doesn't do anything. So what kind of yetzahara do they have already? It's hard to do bummy things, you know. That's not such a big. But when you're a little bit more spiritual, you have a yetzer to do things that are a lot worse, to be much more arrogant, and he can get you to a chil Hashem that's much bigger than what the bum does. Right? He can do a much bigger chil Hashem, you know. Yeah, that Gemara where I forgot which tzaddik, the name is not coming to mind right now, who learned for years and years in yeshiva, and he was going home. He's finally coming home after years in yeshiva, and a very disgusting looking and coarse kind of person greeted him in a non-honorly way. And the tzaddik insulted him. He says, what kind of, it's not kavod haTorah. How dare you talk to me that way? Right? And then the guy gave him back, and, you know, the guy, you know, said like, how you doing, Rabbi? So the rabbi said, are all the people from your place as disgusting as you are? So the guy said, I don't know. Why don't you ask my creator? Ooh. And the guy right away understood that he made a mistake. He said, oh, I'm so sorry. He wouldn't forgive him. And then finally he went back to his destination, and thousands of people were giving him honor. And the guy says, why are you honoring this guy? He doesn't even know how to talk to people like me. Finally forgave him. Right, and then that's the Tanan, the Mishnah, and Pirkei Avos says you should be as soft as a reed, and not as hard as a stick, as a cedar tree. In other words, you know, you got to be a little bit pliable. You learned a lot of Torah, but it's got to get in there. So that was an example where a person was gadol mechaver, but had a bigger yetzara. Had a bigger yetzara. How could he say such a thing? Because he knows he's important, and because he knows it's important, the gaiva can get a hold of you. You find a lot of big rabbis who can't get along with each other. Yeah. They have gaiva. So where do they have gaiva? But bigger rabbis, they can get along with people. The real tzaddikim, they get along because it doesn't mean nothing to them. It just doesn't mean anything. The whole covet is nothing, right? So when you're gadol, when you're bigger, and your avodas Hashem is on a higher level, but you haven't made the total breakthrough of rava derava, that's what I think the pshat is. You're forcing me to come up with a better understanding of it, Jeanette. I think that's why the Daf Gemara says Godel, doesn't say Tzaddik. So, okay, so you're bigger. So bigger, you have bigger challenges. There's no question. You're a bigger person. There's more responsibilities, and you can make more mistakes. So, but when you hit this zone, you'll still sin. And when you sin, then it's a chok. Then we don't understand how you could sin. But you obviously can still sin. Who says it? Was it the Chovas Avos? I don't remember who said it now. When you finally reach the level of a mamish being the ultimate tzaddik, really you have no purpose of being alive in this world anymore. You really don't have a purpose because you've achieved your purpose. It's time to go. So why are you still alive? Because other people can benefit from you. If you are a real tzaddik like this, there's not too many of those role models around. People should see what you look like and how you comport yourself and how you live. And they will finally at least have a vision of what it would mean to be that way. If you don't have a role model, how could you ever know it? Right? So they're always big tzaddikim that people would go to watch them daven. Just to watch them. They daven right. Just stand for 50 minutes and watch how he's comporting himself before Hashem. Or this is why you go to, you know, a tishah, a tzaddik, and this kinds of stuff. Because theoretically they have reached these levels. and you want to learn, see what it's like to be in the presence of such a person, to at least have some kind of a role model of what it's like to be there. But really, they don't need to be alive anymore. Once you've made the total transition and you are totally living with Hashem, and you're living in Olam Haba, now, so then what are you waiting for? Let's go. Let's go. You've made it. You know, it's going to take a while till you're going to get there. But when you finally reach that level where you've pushed out every smidgen of that Yetzirah, and imagine if Moshe Feinstein, you ever think his Yetzirah got a hold of him at when he reached that state in his life? I don't know at what age, who might have guessed when he reached that age, but certainly when at the end of his life, as people knew him, he certainly was on, it was no question, he couldn't get upset, he couldn't upset the guy, he couldn't do anything. He was just mamas one shtick kedusha. So what was he alive for? He was alive for to answer all the questions that people asked him, that nobody knew how to answer these questions. So he's alive to keep answering these questions, to make these breakthroughs, until God sees fit that, there'll be other people to take care of that, and he no longer needs to do that anymore. So then God keeps him alive for everybody else's benefit. Right? So that's our job. We've got to really, really arouse that desire that has to be the Rava de Rava. My truest, greatest desire is that. Okay, so of course the next question is, but once you're there, you don't need any tools on fighting the Yetzirah. You don't need any tools. It'll be child's play. It'll be nourished. You see the Yetzirah start laughing. And he's trying to come to me. It's not even going to come. It's not even going to come. It's like, you can imagine a real Adam Gadol. Somebody writes him a letter that's insulting and this. Dear Rabbi Feinstein, I find you to be the most intolerant Jew on the face of the earth, that you do not accept gay lesbians into your Orthodox community. You are such a backward mind, blah, 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 blah. The guy go on for page. What do you think Rabbi Moshe would look at it?
Throw it out.
He would probably cry. He'd say, never. If it was a Yid who wrote it, he probably would cry and say, how far away is that Yid? Oh, it's such a tragedy. Oh, I feel so bad for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think he's going to say, what chutzpah that guy had to talk. He would say, it's beyond. It's no ego anymore. He would say, maybe call him out, try to be makar of him. That's it. It's not going to let it upset him. It's not shaykh anymore. So, that's what we have to want to get to that level. Yeah?
I forget which biography. I was just reading of a gadol. He got a letter that was completely unfair to him. And he even brought it to another gadol just to say, is there any truth to this? That this person feels this way about him?
Yeah.
However unfair it was for that person to say it to me, Hashem wanted me to receive this tochacha. So I have to take it out every day and thank the person for sending it to me, because he was the messenger of Hashem to give me tochacha in this area, which I obviously deserve.
It doesn't get upset with it. Yeah. Okay, Kufnan Chet, next part. Sorry.
When you talk about being in that zone, is that something that you move in fully,
again, it's hard to flash into that zone. It's not a superficial zone. You could have flashes of,
because
that's what he spoke about two days ago. He's saying that's not it. He said that's not the real thing. That's an arousal, and we're not saying that that's bad, but it's not the real thing. You either you're in that zone or you're not in that zone. You don't visit that zone. It's not a zone you visit. You got to, you slowly get into that zone. You could be partially in that zone. You could be partially on that level, but you have to be in that zone. There's no visits. You know, that's what he said. That amazing musaf, that amazing, one time shout. That's not it. It's something that touches, your neshama is being touched. It's for sure being touched. That's the Rebbe says. When you get very emotional, your neshama is being touched. You may hear and feel the emes. At a shal shiddush, you can feel, this is the emes. There's no question. There can be nothing better than being close to Hashem. Good. Now get there, Buster. Now do it. Do the work that has to get you there. It'll arouse you to really feel that this is the emes, and that's a good isaris, because until you at least feel that should be the emes, you're not even going to try to get to that emes. So there's levels. There's people who don't even think it's the most important thing. Remember, we said there's the three levels. So, you know, so we intellectually know that it's true. Good. So a good shalshus, a good musaf, you may even feel that it's true. Oh, if you feel that it's true, okay, now I'm going to do the work that we've been learning about that I'm going to do to make it happen. And then you got to do the work. But you're not, as a guest, you're not going to feel this. And you're going to feel, you know, you may even feel good. Boy, I felt good at Musaf. I felt good at this point. But that's not feeling close to Hashem. You know, and that's where the Tzadik is saying, we kind of, what's the word? We kind of incorrectly imagine that we're having Dveikus. That's kind of a very depressing reform. Because we thought we're having all that Dveikus. You know, that's pseudo Dveikus. You know, so, you know, as much as you're going to have all these expectations at this Karl Bach Shabbaton, let's have realistic expectations. Okay? And, you know, it's, you can get a pseudo Dveikus, and there's nothing wrong with a pseudo Dveikus. If you have, again, remember we learned, we don't want to move from one pseudo Dveikus to another pseudo Dveikus and spend our lives in pseudo Dveikus. You know, wow, it's a great, I think it's great to have the Shabbaton. And if more people would get to the pseudo Dveikus, then they might consider working on the real Dveikus. And that's about all you can expect from a Shabbaton. And therefore, you know, it gets to a point where it becomes, you OD on Shabbatons. You know, once you know what you gotta do, just get to work, buddy. You know, if you're ready at that stage, you know, so now get to work. You're better off spending your time with Hisbodidus than with Dveikus, than pseudo Dveikus, than the Hisorus. You know, Hisbodidus in the long run is gonna be better than Hisorus. Reflection is going to be better than inspiration. Now, okay, so you know, so while we continue to live in this area of kol shegodol mechavero, so you know, okay, so you need one from time to time. You get because the Yetzer Hara does beat us up a lot. Okay, and we're losing a little bit now. Okay, so you have a Shabbaton once in a while. Okay, I feel a little better now. I can fight a few more weeks with the Yetzer Hara. That's all it's going to do for you. But it's meant to say, okay, now you're really feeling it more. Okay, so now how about now let's get to the real work? That's why Shabbatons are generally ineffective. Generally ineffective. You know, it's not where you're going to win and lose the battles in Yiddishkeit. The battles are won and lost, as they always say, in the trenches. In the trenches, drop after drop after drop, boring drop after boring drop. And that's where you're going to get close to Hashem. That's where you're going to win the battle. That's what's going to happen. Yeah, you have a Shabbaton where somebody teaches you this and say, okay, you guys should get going there. Okay, that's good. But it's not going to do the trick. It's a big cop. Oh, the Shabbaton, I'll become frumer now because somebody else will make me frum. As long as I don't have to do the work. You know, so they're entertaining and they're nice and there's a whole bunch of other things. But at the end of the day, you know, you get to the saturation point of Shabbatons where it's minimal help. It's minimal help. So this is where it's really happening. So I'm saying, you know, so of course, you know, you have a Shal Shudas and you have these things and it's part of your reflection. You know, that's time to be in the real zone. And to get yourself to that zone, it's working. That shalshu is part of the drops. See, it's part of the drops. It's part of your routine. It's part of the boring routine. Shalshu just becomes part of that routine. You know, I'm working on Dveik. I'm working on it every day of the week. I'm working on it. I'm working. I keep saying, I love you, Hashem. I want to be close to you, Hashem. I want to do Hashem. I've done it many times. But during the week, I still only do it maybe 10, 15 times a day. It's all I could do. Shabbos, I can maybe up at the 30 or 40. And for that Shal Shudas hour, I could maybe be the whole hour that way. So it's part of the work. You catching me now? Part of the work of Dveikus? But you know, but that's part of a whole structure that you've built into your life. You're building into it, and now we're really coming to Shal Shudas. And I'm saying the whole Shabbos, I'm thinking much more of Hashem than I thought the whole day. any other day. And now Mitchal Shiris, I'm trying to get into that zone where that's the only thing I'm going to think about for a whole hour. And as I'm singing and the lights are out, I don't see anybody else. And every niggun is pinpointing and penetrating, hearing the words and you're feeling the words and it's just you and Hashem. That mizmor is just you and Hashem. Yidid nefesh, it's just you and Hashem. So really, it's not the time for the louder nigunim. But some of the guys just won't come to Shal Shudas if we sing some of the louder. If we don't sing some exciting nigunim. But you don't need that. So Chassidish nigunim aren't really the really really Chassidish nigunim. They're not so exciting. How about I use the right words? They're not exciting. And they're kind of, from the outside perspective, even a bit morose. From the outsider looking in. But for the insider, he knows exactly what he's doing. That's why, for us who are used to nigunim that have, that sound beautiful and have harmony and this and that, a lot of these Chassidish nigunim, I find quite challenging because I'm not there yet. But it works for the zone that they're in. Listen to these Breslover nigunim at Shal Shudas. It just doesn't cut it for us who are looking for a very inspiring Essa Einai. I've got nothing against Essa Einai. And I think for our level, it's fine. But you never will see Chassidim singing Essa Einai. The real Chassidim, they're not going. They got their Nigunim. They got their Nigunim that have been from their Tzaddikim of years ago, who they had these Nigunim when they were in these states of being close to Hashem. Right? So that's why those Nigunim, may not do it for us. When those Nigunim do it for us, then you're getting there. You're getting there. Okay, hi. Bakasha, another minute. Start the next paragraph. Ech magim l'ratzon amiti. So how are we going to get to really want this? Kates mermis and ephes l'ratzos femes. How are we going to arouse the soul to really, really, really want this? Reishis kamosh marano. The beginning, as we've said, yesh es nekuda seisporus. You got this point of reflection. Ubatoch esporus yesh la'avod l'ores ratzon. And this esporus is what's going to arouse that ratzon. It's only going to come at esporus time. That's what Lutzado said. You're not going to make it without esporus. That's the only time where you can really be alone with Hashem and really, really know what you really, really want. Hasheli rak kesed oisos. So how do you have the proper esporus? That's what he said way in the beginning. We're fighting tooth and nail with the author. How can we do this? Yesh b'zeh v'chinah shel aseh tov. We have the aspect of the do good, positive. V'chinah shel sur mera, and the part of stay away from bad. Aseh tov, the do good part. Zeh ha'koyach l'oreh saros amiti shel v'ani kevesachim litov. Those are the things we do to arouse the true desire of King David of, for me, close to Hashem, that's good. Asur meira, the stay away from evil, inyano shlilas haratzonis hachitzonis hadimyonis shenim tzem nevesh, is removing those superficial imaginatory things that we think we would like to have. Get rid of them. So I'm going to ask, lo'eres haratzon shol ratzonin alasos ratzoncha. So now the way to arouse the ratzon, that your ratzon is to do God's ratzon, as a bechina hachiyuvish al ratzon, that uttermost level of the positive thing we have to do, mishu bar seichel rachav, someone has a broad understanding, tola b'zeh hisponus amuka, so deep hisponus will help. Chlitas advarim l'omka, to catch these things to their deepest level. I will say it, mamish, and that's really for rare individuals. The rare individual can intellectually pull this out. It's not for us. So what's going to be for us? That's tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning is the positive for us. What is it that we're able to do?